Chris Hine, beat reporter for the Chicago Blackhawks, joins us. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Well, Anisimov played with Kane and Panarin last year, but didn't really cash in on the points that those two did. But so far this year, like, he's off to a career-best start. He's at a career-long point streak now, I think at 6 or 7 games. Is he playing better, or is he just getting rewarded for good play from last year?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think towards the end of last year, he was hampered by a wrist injury that he had surgery on in the off season. And if you look at his numbers last year, for the first half of the season, he was on pace for career high numbers. And like I said, I think the second half of the season, whether it was opponents adjusting to that line, whether it was the injury, or just, you know, his numbers coming back down to earth a little bit, you know, he didn't have as strong a second half as he did the first half of the season. There's no denying he's off to a fantastic start right now. His point streak is at 7 games. You know, he had a goal last night. And right now he's not even playing on a line with Kane. It's him, Panarin, and Marian Hossa for the last 2 games here. Joel Quenneville's put Kane up with Taves for the last couple of games here. But Anisimov hasn't slowed down at all. He had the game-winning goal Friday night against the Devils in overtime. He's been great. He's been in the right spot at the right time, and it's more than just luck. He knows where he needs to be on the ice. Everybody on the Hawks praises him for being a smart player. And right now, you know, as long as he's healthy, he's a great contributor for them.
And the other thing is, he has 6 goals in 9 games, all of them at even strength. So he's not padding his numbers on the power play. He's dominating 5-on-5.
Yeah, and you know, you see what he can do, and he complemented that line so well last year, because Kane and Panarin are guys who are, you know, they're playmakers. They like to have the puck, but Anisimov was the one who would get in front of the net and make things happen. The only thing that right now is a bit of a blemish on his game is his faceoff rate, which is, last I checked, it was right in the mid to high 30s, which is not where you want it for a center like him. That's the one thing he has to work on. He's never been traditionally a good faceoff guy. As long as he can be, you know, around average, that would help his cause a lot. That's the only blemish right now, because everything else he's been doing great.
Now, Chris, what about Richard Panik, who has also 6 goals on the season, 2 of them on the power play, 9 points. Is he playing with Kane and Taves right now?
He is. He's on the left wing there. And in, you know, the last 3 games, he got off to that really fast start. He had a hat trick a couple weeks ago. 6 goals in 6 games. He hasn't scored in the last 3. I would expect him to obviously not be producing at that rate, especially with his shot percentage, what it was a couple of games ago. But I think right now the Hawks are pretty happy with what they have in Richard Panik. I think coming into the year, one of the biggest questions was who was going to be playing with Taves on that top line. And through 9 games, Panik seems like a guy who can fill that role. There was some question as to whether he could sustain it, and there still is some question as to whether he could be a consistent top-line contributor with Taves night in and night out, but so far the results have been good. Last year, he really came on towards the end of the season. You know, he was a guy who was on the fringe of the lineup most nights. He was a scratch just as often as he was in the lineup. But towards the end of the year, he started scoring a little bit. He earned that top spot with Taves in the playoffs, and he kept up his strong play. So that kind of carried over into this year. And the chemistry is still developing between him and Taves. Taves said that they're still kind of figuring out how to play with each other. And I think that's what Taves needs. He needs a regular line mate there, because last year he had a rotating cast of just about everybody. So if they can find some consistency and let this chemistry between Taves and Panik develop, I think that bodes well for them.
Chris Hine, beat reporter for the Chicago Blackhawks, writes at the Chicago Tribune, joins us. Chris, I know, and I think it was only 1 game. I'm not sure if it was more, but Brian Campbell played wing for 1 game for the Blackhawks. He has 6 points in 9 games, but he's obviously been on the blue line. I guess it illustrated a little bit of a lack of depth, because after you get past their top 2 lines, you've got guys like Moat and Hartman and Schmaltz, and obviously Marcus Kruger, Rasmussen. Forsling has been playing defense. Then Jordan Tutu is only playing 6 minutes a night. He's dressed every game for them on their fourth line. But is Chicago, are they concerned about lines 3 and 4 and scoring, or because they're so young, they're just going to be patient and hope that those guys pick up as the season goes?
Well, that Campbell thing, he came out in warm-ups and was skating on the wing, but when the game actually started, he never played a shift of wing. He was rotating in with the defenseman. I think right now they're still very much in wait-and-see mode with some of these young guys. As Stan Bowman said before the season, they're not going to be the same team in March that they are in October. And they hope to be better as the season goes on here. They realize they have to be patient with some of these guys. Some of these guys, didn't even play in the AHL last year. Mott and Nick Schmaltz were in college last year. So they know they have to be patient. They've been sticking with these guys through 9 games. They haven't made any call-ups. So they're giving these guys a long leash to try and prove themselves. And I think of all the young guys who have played so far, the one who has impressed the most has been Tyler Mott. They trust him to use him on the penalty kill. Now, the penalty kill has been a disaster, but I don't think that's his fault. He's been on the top line with Taves for a couple games there. He just looks the part right now. He's fast. He can skate. He's a little bit physical. He scored a couple goals here. He looks the part. Some of the other guys have had their moments, but I think Mott has been the most consistent of those young forwards. But they've shown a willingness to be patient with them.
Chris Hine joins us from the Chicago Tribune. Chris, one last one for you. Speaking of Brian Campbell, with Keith and Seabrook and Campbell and Adjarmelson, obviously their top four defense is still pretty good. Then Forsling and Van Riemsdyk, with Roosevelt playing a few games, they've rotated in. But how's Campbell looked? Like, is he just kind of picked off where he left when he was there the first time around? Because he just seems pretty comfortable. At least the offense is going. How's his defense been?
Right now, I think the first couple games were a bit of a readjustment for him, and he admitted as much. They also have him playing on his right side for the most part, which is not really his natural side. But ever since they paired him with Duncan Keith, that's been a winning pairing for the Hawks, and it's allowed Jalmerson and Seabrook to play together. So I think they've kind of found something right now with him playing with Keith. He's got, I believe, 5 points in his last 4 games here. So right now, I think they have a good thing going with him and Keith, Jalmerson, Seabrook, and they're waiting for Trevor Van Riemsdyk to come back in a few weeks from injury. And Gustav Forsling, the new rookie, is coming back from an upper body injury. But I think they like what they've seen in Campbell. He's feeling more comfortable readjusting to the system, figuring out how to get the puck to the important people on the ice. And defensively, he and Keith have been sound over the last couple of games. So I think after a bumpy couple of games there, his ice time has gone up, and they've needed him because of the injuries they've had.
Chris, as always, appreciate it. One last one, local product, Mark McNeil. Where's he at in development with the organization? Where do you see him going with Chicago, or do you think he ends up somewhere else?
That's a very interesting question. Right now, he's obviously not very high on the pecking order, because otherwise he'd be up right now with some of these younger forwards. But they still, I think, hold out hope that he can develop into something, but time is running out, and he's got to leapfrog a lot of people if he wants to crack NHL ice time here over the next weeks and months.
Chris, thanks for this, man. We'll talk to you again.
No problem. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.